Hey, what is going on here?
Here we are, everybody, once again broadcasting from Sochi. It's This Week in Mormons. We're happy
here
to be with
you. I am once again.
We have escaped our captors after being whipped and beaten by Russian authorities for voicing our opinions on things, and we're here to bring you the best podcast ever.
We are just like the Saratov approach, Jeff.
Just like it.
Is that playing in D.C. yet?
Oh, but no, well, I didn't ever see it. It made its way here, and then it left.
It played and left?
Yeah, speaking of the Saratov approach, we had the missionaries over for dinner the other night. And
go on.
I think they were extremely confused about the concept of like what the difference between a church movie like Legacy and a church themed movie like the Saratov approach. And I think they might have actually believed all of these films are made by the church.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
Well,
this dates me and how young these kids are. They'd never heard of the movie God's Army.
Who has never heard of the Army?
The missionaries in my ward have never heard of God's Army.
Have they heard of Jesus?
I like to think so because they are part of his army.
Are they familiar with the call that has been extended to them to be in God's army?
I don't think they are.
Have they ever awkwardly given a blessing on film?
I tell you what, they would watch it and they'd probably think the church was crazy before their time. I mean, you've got like 30-year-old men with brain cancer serving missions, black elders with cornrows as missionaries. It was just, we've tightened the ship up quite a bit. We raised that bar. None of that anymore.
My favorite was the blatant, was the flirting, right? The pairing off and just getting some good chit-chat time. That never happened in my mission. That wasn't a real thing in my world.
Nothing's a real God's Army was a noble effort, but we need to watch it. We keep delaying this. We want to start reviewing old Mormon films and doing live viewings of them on Twitter.
I know I do. Which one I keep trying to get is the Mormon version of Pride and Prejudice, the modern adaptation. I can't find it anywhere. I can't, like, it's on VHS at my mom's house. That's the only other place I know. No, I remember seeing
it. You can buy
like,
it from Desert.
Ago. I don't want it on a DVD. I don't want to own any of these. I feign at the idea that I would have to have a physical copy of any of them somewhere.
Okay, I'm going to look it up, but I don't think it's going to show up on the Pirate Bay.
Those Swedish ambassadors of freedom.
Now, if I type in just Pride and Prejudice, naturally many options show up, particularly that Keira Knightley business. If I type in a latter, maybe that'll
get
me.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
I get
She's
nothing.
She's wonderful.
I get nothing. There needs to be...
She's the one that I watch every Valentine's
Day.
We
need a Mormon-specific BitTorrent hosting site.
I'm on. Let's do it. We could have all Michael McLean albums.
You've been looking for your next big project, Al. This could be it. We will incorporate
sure.
in Delaware and host everything in Myanmar. It'll be wonderful.
No, it'll all be in Ukraine. No one's going to track down a Pirate Bay in Ukraine now.
No one's going to try anyway. And as long as we pay off the government, we'll be fine.
Hey, you've been watching this stuff in Ukraine, right?
With a broken heart, yes.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, which sadly is probably most of America, if not the world, the Ukraine has been going through this crazy revolution. The current president, Yanukovych, is a corrupt, dirty who is trying to get in bed with Russia. Putin is helping him out, obviously sending support, troops and supplies and all that sort of stuff. And it's crazy drama. So the Ukrainian people are taken to the streets. They're in the squares. They're fighting and rioting and doing all those things. And it's crazy. But, Jeff, what do you think? Like, what's the church doing in all this? Do we have any idea? Like, are missionaries still out proselyting?
Missionaries are okay. We actually, since you mentioned it, Peggy Fletcher Stack actually put out an article just tonight for an update on the...
P.F. Stack?
Yes, for an update on the light journalist that she is. But we love her. Then again, she refused us for an interview. So how much love can there be? Well, we love you, Peggy.
She did? Did we ask her for an interview?
I worked through some channels to try to get one, and then she said she doesn't do interviews.
She said that?
She says a lot of things. Okay, did I tell... This is a sidetrack.
Go on.
I messaged her when the stuff was going on a couple of weeks ago with President Monson receiving the court summons and all that.
Uh-huh.
I was torn about wanting to write anything about it. And my initial thoughts were to not do so. I didn't want to sort of fan the flames and be a part of a bunch of rumors. But I messaged Peggy Fletcher Stack as a journalist, not me, but her,
sure.
And said like, are you going to be writing about this? I'm sure you've seen it going around. And she just said, at this time I have no plans to write anything. But then the very same day, later in the afternoon, here comes an article in the Salt Lake Trib by one Peggy Fletcher Stack. And
she slow played you, Jeff.
Going over the whole thing. And so then when I saw it, I commented on the article and said, had a change of heart, huh? Wink. And she said, and she basically said something like, if it's just from like bloggers and things, I don't bother with it. But, you know, when real journalistic outlets start taking it up, then I have to act. So I think that was a veiled criticism. I don't know. Of me? I'm not sure.
She thought that you were a blogger?
I don't know what I am. I'm just a human.
Jeff, you are a dyed-in-the-wool, true blue, through and through Mormon, and also a blogger.
I'm sort of a blogger, but I fancy myself a bit more of an academic because I have a master's degree. And so I'm a master.
that's all you need. If you have a master's degree, you're clearly not a blogger. You are a journalist.
I know how to write and I'm not even a journalist. If you ask me to write in proper MLA format, I don't know that off the top of my head because I studied political science research. I don't know.
No, why would you know that? You wouldn't know that.
I don't need to know these things. I have a wacky style.
You're a published copy editor, Jeff. That's what you are.
Yeah, I hope I get my free copy of your magazine soon.
Lawyered.
So anyway. We're going to have to change my title. Anyway, so back to the story at hand. Apparently, all the missionaries are fine. For any of the ones who do live around the main core center of Kyiv, they've just been told to stay inside and not do anything.
Well, what about in areas like Lviv, right? Supposedly Lviv has said that they are no longer under Yanukovych's rule. Just a town in western Ukraine has... declared autonomy.
Basically, yeah, they're just doing their own thing.
So, I mean, in that event where they've, like, the police have supposedly surrendered, I mean, this isn't confirmed, this is all just speculative footage, video footage, but, like, in an event like that, if you were a missionary there, I mean, you're not allowed to participate in political rallies. I bet they're just sitting at home trying to read,
for the most part,
Jesus the Christ.
There are 600 missionaries in Ukraine now, which comes as no surprise. They have four.
Oh my gosh!
They have four missions.
No, there was 130 in my mission when I was there.
Yeah,
10 years
and there's
ago.
Four missions in the country now. So, but it's all it says here from church spokesman Cody Craner just said that any missionaries who are near affected areas have been instructed to stay in their apartments. So that could be in Kyiv, that could be in Lviv, that could be, you know, in Chernivtsi, probably not Donetsk.
They've been instructed to stay in their area? Is that what it says?
No, to just stay in their apartments. If you're near an affected area where it's going crazy, stay in your apartment. So thank goodness the temple in Kyiv is on the western outskirts of town and not really anywhere near where the action's taking place.
Oh, in Nivki? No, there's plenty of traffic around there. Well, I know,
but there aren't protests there.
No, that's true. That's true. The temple's probably fine from that. But a lot of these other cities, the church buildings are right downtown. Maybe that's why the church moved, because the church used to be a block up from Krashatik, the mission office and everything.
Oh, did they move the one? That's the same one I went to when I was there, right?
That's not there anymore.
Oh, okay.
They're out. They moved the mission office and everything out by the temple, and I wonder if they were moving out of the city square just to not be there.
Or maybe cheaper rent. I doubt it was because they predicted this kind of political turmoil. I mean,
not so much predicted, but like if you were worried about that stuff happening.
Maybe. Or I don't know. Is the new mission home closer to the temple, though? Maybe they just made it, wanted to be up
it's
in that
next to the
woods.
Temple. It's in the temple grounds, yeah.
My guess is that was... less because they needed to get out of downtown and more because the church likes to consolidate administrative facilities around a rallying point like temples whenever they're put in, if available. That's what I think. Ukraine's very sad.
This is interesting. This is interesting to look at because, this probably isn't the only revolution we're going to watch in our lifetime, right?
No. And we'll see if it is a revolution. I don't think right now it's full-blown revolution, but if I noticed, I watched Ukrainian media, and you know I don't really speak much of it.
Ukrainian media is calling it a revolution.
But I can see the revolution on the side just you know, emblazoned right over the heading the whole time. So it's very sad what's going on in Ukraine. I believe they've at least reached an accord to have a truce of sorts. What that'll mean in the end, I don't know, because as far as I know, opposition is just demanding that they actually have new elections and get rid of their terrible all the cronies and the oligarchs and the plutocrats and everybody who runs the show in Ukraine. They want actual freedom. But it's a country bitterly divided along ancient and historical lines.
Yeah. Well,
I could give you all a whole history lesson on here, but I'll spare you.
Aren't we all? So how's your week been besides our crummy situation in Ukraine?
It's been fine otherwise. Interesting thing, over the weekend we went and saw the I was talking to you on Saturday about this. I went to see the Oscar short films, the live action short films.
Oh yeah. How was that?
They're nominated for Oscars. So I'd been to this once before 2 years ago and it was great. And I've enjoyed it, so I was looking forward to this. A group went, great times. So they
go on.
So they were good, but I'll explain in a second why a lot of this made me reflect once again on some of the discussions we've been having recently about media consumption choices, standards, ratings, whatever you want to use. So these shorts, they show them all as one little block over 2 hours. There's no rating on any of them, as you would expect in this case. No MPAA intervention here in the States.
Right.
When I went 2 years ago, it was fine. The worst ones were maybe a little PG-13, but nothing crazy. And so for the most part, first we had three great films. One of them was this very touching tale. I won't spoil much. A Danish movie that was great. Another one had Martin Freeman, who plays the Hobbit in the Hobbit films, doing this hilarious thing with a prisoner who thinks he's God. Then we had a French one that's all about just a domestic crisis with a wife and trying to take her kids and get away from a battered husband, which I think should win. It's called
Before. Yeah.
It was exceptionally well done. All it was just so tense. Nothing bad or violent or profane in it, just tense. But then the fourth film came on, and it's called That Wasn't Me. And I was disappointed because it's a product of Spain, and I was hoping for some sassy Spanish film that I could laugh at and enjoy their Spanish speak. Instead, I was treated to lots of profanity and a rape scene. And
that's Spain, in my mind.
All sorts of exciting things. So it was actually telling some of the tale of African warlords who commission children as their army, which is a real thing that's happened in a lot of war-torn African right. countries. So that's an okay thing to reflect upon, but I think it missed the point in trying to use the horrors of all of it to accurately portray a point. And so there was this terrible moment when this guy has already killed two people, and there's a woman, and he basically says he's going to have his way with her. And I was like, oh, please no, please no, please no. And so
don't have your way with her.
No,
that's
and
what
so
you're saying
I kid
head.
You not, what I did, I folded my earlobe up into my ear for extra padding, and plugged my ears and closed my eyes, as I knew this entire terrible rape scene was going on. Because I didn't want to
wait. You were metaphorically under the bed.
I didn't. Yeah, I was, because I don't want to see that. I know it's terrible. No. And I understand it's even being depicted as terrible, and that's the point of it.
Was there any part of you that thought, I should leave this place?
I was tempted.
I should do what Joseph in Egypt did and get myself out of here.
That was my Potiphar's wife, I guess, in a way, but I failed. But at least I sat there and I was covered. The other stuff I could deal with.
At least I sat there, said every person ever.
But here's the point.
You know, it could have been worse, but at least I didn't leave the situation.
Yeah, exactly. But given the situation I was in, the only interesting aspect of this, I realized, is because I blocked it out as best as I could while stuck sitting there.
And Danielle, on the other hand, was cuddled up to another man, kissing him softly on the neck. That's what's crazy about the whole situation.
Over the line, Al. Over the line. No, she was doing. She was doing the same thing I was doing.
She folded her ears into her earlobes and plugged as well.
Yeah, and then finally it was over. But the great thing is that I realized from this, getting to my point.
Oh, go on.
Is that I have no memory of that. I know something terrible happened, but if I would have witnessed that and just let it stay there, it would be emblazoned into my mind. And I would have,
yeah.
And I would have that in my head, and I would have those terrible images and thoughts in my head, and so.
But because you almost had the courage to leave, is that what you're saying, or is it?
I'm just saying.
Wait, I'm missing the point.
No, I'm just saying baby steps. Like it really comes down to to making choices. I had no way, you know, and of course we've talked about ratings, good or bad. Like for this, I really had very little way of knowing what I was getting into before I got into it.
Yeah.
Not, there's not much available on IMDb.
Well, and you're an artsy man. I mean, like I do the same thing. I'll go to some of these independent films and they're not rated. You just got to go and try them out.
You go and try them out. But usually I'll look stuff up if I can. But with short films like this that don't really get a lot of play, it's hard to find content and really know what you're getting into.
I remember I went to me and our buddy Justin went to a film festival here in Salt Lake a couple years ago, and there was one that was a short film about a half deer boy, and apparently the mother had an affair with a deer in the woods, and they'd had this half deer boy, and the half deer boy was an outcast, and he came back, and like there's this crazy sex thing going on with deer, and it was awful. But both Justin and I were like, well, let's never go to an independent film ever again. This has ruined it completely for me. I can't unsee like deer ears and terribleness. It was awful.
So anyway, we take for me having to see
it. I couldn't look away. I was like, no, there's no way this is real. So, this is deer sex.
Well, that's point is, folks, if you see the Oscar short films this year, enjoy them. But
watch out for Spain.
I can't tell you what to do, but if one called Aquel No Era Yo, or That Wasn't Me, plays, you can do what you want and make your own independent choices. But I encourage you to maybe just sit near the exits and just leave for about 23 minutes when that starts, and then just walk back in. Your life will be fine.
That sounds like a dream.
Yeah. Other than that, my weekend was, and I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. No, I'm good. I'm back in Salt Lake. I flew back to Salt Lake on Monday. It's great to be back. I haven't been in my apartment for about a month.
Uh-huh.
I had some green bananas that are black, ready for banana bread.
Perfect for banana bread.
And 2 half gallons of milk that have swelled up the size of watermelons. So, yeah, it's good to be home. Clean this stuff out. I decided I'm getting a roommate. I have a roommate that's going
to
be moving.
Oh, but then I have to move out of your office.
I know. I'm okay with it, though. I'm excited. It's a local comedian friend of mine, and one of my dreams is to have a five-minute stand-up set that I can go up and do at like an open mic night. Someday, some way, I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to go up, and I'll just have this set that I can kill it. And I'll just get up, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is great.
And so you're letting him move in to tutor you.
That's right. That's exactly right. Uh-huh. This is my conversation. I was like, I don't need a roommate. I don't even want a roommate. But if you will help me build a set of jokes that makes me funny, I'll have you. So that's what we're going
to
do.
You say, you don't even have to pay rent. I just want you to teach me. No. No, not so much.
No.
Is that a gun rack
behind
you?
No, he will be paying rent.
What is that? Is that a gun rack?
Oh, no. So he's moving in slowly.
Oh.
This is he has a Pinterest account, and he found things on Pinterest. Jeff, this behind me, that is a ladder with planks on it that he's made into a shelf. Amazing.
Like that.
He even bought a vintage typewriter to set on it to look hipster.
Like that's the permanent installation? I mean, he's actually just
that's
gonna,
it.
The shelf is going to it's going to sit on that.
No. Do you see the planks going through the ladder slats?
Yeah, so the ladder's being used for support.
Right. And then the planks are the shelves.
Yeah, I understand that. But the ladder remains part of it.
The ladder does remain part of it. Yes.
How is it supported at the ends? I mean, if you put stuff on the edges there, isn't it just going to fall over?
Yeah, you got to start in the middle and work your way out. I mean, that's a classic rule of ladder shelves, Jeff. So what I'm saying, though, is this is a man who has a Pinterest board, and he's found things besides wedding shoes to put on it. I'm very impressed.
Congratulations, Al's new roommates. We are here to mock you.
No, he'll be on the show. He's actually a very funny guy, and I'm excited to try and promote his work. His name's Steve Solberg. One of our very good friends, Nate Solberg, huge fan of the show. Nate, what's up, man?
Love Nate.
It's his brother. It's his little brother is moving in, so we're excited.
Well, this is terrific. I'm a little bummed that my guest bedroom will be occupied for whenever I'm there next, but that's okay. Life goes on.
Your guest bedroom will be with me now, Jeff. With me.
You do have a large bed, but I've seen the way you sleep in your bed. I don't think there's any room for anybody else.
No, there's room for 1 6-foot-7 man.
Al is kind of one of those spread eagle tears apart his bedding every night types. So it's...
What?
He's not...
No.
He's not a peaceful sleeper.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm snoring
in one little spot.
Al is one of the most intense snorers I've ever heard. It's outstanding.
No, it's... All right, that happens
sometimes. If you have the misfortune of waking up in the night and Al is asleep going at it, it's difficult to fall back asleep. I recommend earplugs or...
What are you talking about? That doesn't sound like me at all. Jeff.
You're a pretty brutal snorer, my friend.
These are daggers, man. Why is this coming out on air? This should never happen.
Why not? Why don't we talk about what's going on with your mouth? Why do you keep going to the dentist? Let's keep throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah. I did go to the... So I went to the dentist yesterday. I had to get a crown replaced.
Keep going
there. The crown that he had made was the wrong size, so I did all the work. Got me all prepped, and then he had to put a temporary back. It was drama.
Do you mean that we could have podcasted?
I hate
anyway.
The dentist.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, he numbed me up. He couldn't get it off. The guy like has this screwdriver thing with a hammer on it. It's a mess. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I just
Jeff.
Like brush my teeth and use fluoride. But
can we talk about our letter from Keith this week? Should we talk about that, Keith? Keith,
I don't
sent
think
us an
Keith
email.
Won- Okay.
No, Keith sent us an email that we were excited to get. Jeff and I love hearing from our listeners.
And if you want to do that, that's contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Hey,
that's right. Keith sent in a note and said he felt like we were being a little a little negative and cited a few examples, mainly our obsession with McKay Coppins.
Well, that's...
I felt like we should explain why we have a rivalry with McKay Coppins. McKay Coppins is allegedly. Allegedly whatever we want. I mean, we got to say
he's allegedly whatever you want.
He's allegedly a serial killer. Allegedly the man is a rampant pornographer. I mean, we have all kinds of things that people have alleged that he is. We can't confirm, nor would we want to. But that's, I mean, McKay Coppins, obviously born in the bosom of, where did he come out of? He was LDS Living Magazine?
No, it was actual Mormon Times, when Mormon Times still functioned as a separate paper and before it was a section of
that's
Desert
right. Paper. He was a writer for the Mormon Times. He'd write the most ridiculous articles about, like, your casserole dish that you need for this weekend. Then he went on to Newsweek, and then he went on to BuzzFeed. He's at the Daily Beast now,
you're right,
BuzzFeed,
you're right.
So now... Now he's in with the scholarly journalists of which state should you be from quizzes and things of that nature. And so we like to rib the young McKay Coppins because he's taken such an odd track in his career. And we deem him a total and complete failure. But that's just our opinion. And so in viewing him in that way, we like to just throw some barbs at him and just see what he thinks. So that's our obsession with McKay. He's our nemesis.
Uh-huh.
He is what we want to someday be.
Yeah, it's...
Would you agree, Jeff? I mean, I don't feel like I'm overstepping here.
No, it's really just that, it's probably not even McKay's fault that he used to have to write such drivel. I mean, he had an editor. That's how life is. So we've just sat on it for a long time, and we just still enjoy it. Especially because we don't really get on Kevin Beckstrom anymore. If you want to talk about somebody else we love to have a good time with...
Kevin... Lightning bolts in his eyes, Beckstrom.
Kevin Beckstrom, everybody, is the curator, the creator even, of a little online comic called the Zarahemla Times. You can go to zarahemlatimes.com and actually see it. I'm trying to look for it right now, actually. It's been a while. So he's the creator of it. We always love Kevin Beckstrom
because it's a comic strip that... Years, still the only comments that are on there are from Jeff and I.
We once asked all of you, our dear listeners, to go there and comment on his articles, and I think he caught wind of it. He goes from a running average of 0 to about 12 on one post, and it was sad. And then
he was not happy.
And then he served us with papers. It was awesome. That was one of my crowning.
Then Jeff actually.
That was one of my crowning...
No, you were... Come on, you were scared.
I was not scared. That was one of my crowning achievements, I feel like, as a podcaster. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. There are so many wonderful people out there, and we love all of them. If I ever see Kevin Beckstrom, I'm going to hug him until he burns me with his eyes. If I see McKay Coppins, I will give McKay Coppins a good game if I ever see him.
Not me. I'll circle him. never breaking eye contact. Just walk all the way around him two or three times and then say, pornographer. And then be like, woo, and run out. That's what
just
I
like that,
to do
huh? That's your master plan.
Yeah. Woo! And off I go. I haven't really thought it through. It's a working title.
Well,
anyway, we got stuff. We got things.
Well, we've
to talk
been hitting
about,
on
Jeff.
Some stuff. Yeah, it's
all right. First, let's talk about some Olympic stuff. Did you know? This was interesting. So Shaun White did not medal. Shaun White is the snowboarder. He got two Olympic golds in the last two Winter Games. And he's back for his third. He was going to set a record. And he was the heavy favorite to win. And the half pipe was a mess. It was slushy in the bottom. It had all this stuff going on. Drama, drama, drama. Well, so anyway, he didn't even medal. He got fourth place.
He had a rough go. He fell on his first run and then just was a little too wobbly on his second run.
He tried. He tried his hardest. So I was anxiously kind of reading about it. I didn't get a chance to see it live, and so I was reading through it. And there's a couple articles, and in one of them, his mother. They interview his mom afterwards, and his mom offhandedly mentions that Sean that he'd had some heart surgeries. He'd had like some serious complications as a youth.
At one point
in the hospital, their family friend who was LDS, and she identifies him as LDS. Came in, who was an elder, came in and gave him a blessing and promised her, or I guess confirmed to her that he would live. Kind of a cool shout out. It was this great little vignette of the story. I mean, Shaun White seems like a classy dude. Every article that I've seen written about him is just praising his like character and how good he is.
Yeah. Well,
so really cool to have that story associated with a good guy.
And the funny thing about this, the article we're talking about here where this is referenced in the Washington Post, is that Shaun White does seem like a good dude, but he's been kind of torn apart in the media leading up to these Olympics because a lot of people view him like he's kind of a sellout, like he's too good to stay in the Olympic Village, he's too good to hang out with everybody else, you know, now that he's Mr. Big Shot, famous guy. So I like this article, because, and even the author makes the point saying he was ready to sort of write this great article on the downfall of Shaun White. But then as he did more research and stuff, he was like, oh, man, fine. So
he's a nice guy.
But the story, the LDS story caught me off guard. I was just reading this to read about Shaun White. Then I hit that paragraph and I was
And
I was like, oh, well, there we go.
That's us. That's our jam.
In other news, you also, if especially in the Mormon community, hopefully you saw that the lovely and wonderful Noelle Pikus Pace finally won her Olympic medal for the skeleton. Which is just
what she keeps saying. She'd be like, to all the youth out there, remember who you are and remember what you stand for.
Yeah, that's what she did. Apparently, she's the Stake Young Women's President out in Eagle Mountain, where she lives. Yeah, and she takes her time to tell the youth she was wearing her young women's medallion as she went to race. I mean, come on. And she seems she seems super nice. It's when I see people like her who are genuinely friendly and nice. I ask myself, Jeffrey, why do you revel in sarcasm and cynicism for your kicks? Why can't you just be genuinely sweet and loving towards everyone?
Yeah, what if we were sweet and happy people?
I already like roll eyes at myself if I were to act that way. It's terrible.
Oh yeah.
But
no,
I don't roll
no way out now.
But I don't roll my eyes at Noelle Pikus Pace. I say, she's awesome. Good for her.
She won a silver. She's the first. Is she the first American to get a medal in that? I don't think so.
But she had a long road. You know, she got injured before Torino. She finished fourth in Vancouver, and then she retired because she just wanted to focus on being a mom.
No, from what America hasn't had a medal in women's skeleton, maybe ever. This was a big deal.
It had been a big deal. The bigger deal was that we had not medaled in bobsled in men's bobsled for something like 40 years, and we finally did. So that was big, too.
Yeah.
But I love following the Mormons in the Olympics. Tora Brights had the So-So Olympics. Some of the other skiers and snowboarders.
She doesn't need a good Olympics, Jeff. She is a fine, fine woman.
She's single, too, Al.
The Olympics is a subset to her wonderfulness.
But I've been enjoying the Olympics. Next time we join you on this show, they will be over, but I've been... I watch them like every night. I just turn it on, just hang out and see what's going on.
I was doing the same thing until they got the ice dancing kick.
The ice dancing is the reason to watch, Al.
No, I can't make myself follow through with
they
it.
They dance, but they wear skates at the same time. It's a beautiful it's synergy.
It's awful. It's awful. And what they do is they put like I'd rather watch the hour long cross country skiing bit, but then they'll intersperse it with ice dancing. And I'm like, no, just let me watch these men hating their lives and grueling it out. Don't put the froofy haired guy.
Danielle and I had a discussion about biathlon because I think it's just kind of a funny sport. Hey, you're going to ski cross country and then shoot stuff on the way.
Jeff, that's every man's dream.
And I was thinking, how did this happen? My wife rightly explained that it probably had its roots in some sort of ancient hunting in snowy areas where one does have to ski and shoot. So that makes more sense to me now.
Yeah.
In my self-proclaimed intelligence, I often fail to see past the end of my nose. I fail to see very simple things at times. And I'm grateful for those who help me with those things. And I realize that I'm not nearly as smart as I could ever think I am or hope I am. So
I'm not nearly as smart as I could ever think I am.
No, I can't. It's
okay. Let's talk for a second. You've seen this movie Frozen, right?
Frozen is an American masterpiece.
Alex Boyer made an African version of Let It Go.
First
with
off,
a very talented 9-year-old or 6-year-old that's singing along with it. But then,
they rated the Midway Heber City Young Men's Chorus or something.
The primary choir, and they had them out there just humba bumba waiting. That's my phraseology for
that
Lion
King?
African chant.
Humba bumba way.
And it's just weird. It's just weird.
First off, what's with everyone going to the Midway Ice Castle? I swear this wasn't there last year. I see it everywhere on my newsfeed. Because even the piano guys are now doing things at the Midway Ice Castle. Everyone just hangs out there. Al, you should take a lady there. It apparently is the place for romance. One Rick...
Oh, I've thought about going. I've thought about going to Ice Castles, Jeff, but then I think maybe dinner. And dinner normally wins.
I see. You may remember one Rick Buck, the former Mormon bachelor. He became betrothed at the Ice Castle, so take it seriously.
Yeah, he's engaged now. Rick
this
Buck,
is legit.
The man that drives the Buckmobile,
I forgot.
Has found love.
No, his Buckmobile says Batman. His license plate is Batman.
It is the Buckmobile.
How do you feel about the Alex Boyer, 6-year-old girl, whatever, Frozen cover?
Well, I mean...
It's everywhere.
I'll take Alex Boyer in any way, shape, and form, but he's gotten weirder and weirder and weirder. And I think what's happened is he's become the young men's president, and he said, how can I use my fame to exploit my calling in my church? How can I use what I've been given to get free stuff out of my ward and not pay these actors money?
See, that's not what I think at all. I think he's European, and so absinthe is somehow part of the equation.
Oh, yeah, it could be sponsored.
I don't love this cover. It's been everywhere. A lot of the popular social sharing sites have said this is the greatest Frozen cover ever, especially because they call it, quote, Africanized. And it's more this little girl.
It's not hard to be the greatest Frozen cover ever. It's all of 6 weeks in.
No, Frozen's been out for over 3 months, buddy. 3 months.
Oh,
right. Still in the top 10 in theaters. It's a juggernaut. That Lego movie can't take it down. Well, it sort of can. But it's this girl singing and then random bits of Alex Boyer doing the humma 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 stuff. So it's a very odd mix, and I don't understand why it happened.
I feel like you hate Africa, Jeff.
No, I love Africa. I work with Africa every day.
But do they ever sing to you in a way that pleases you?
They don't.
I don't.
But they also...
I've never heard you pleased with an African song ever.
I watch The Lion King all the time. On my mission, I often walked in on African cinema from the people we'd teach. I saw some terrific films, let me tell you. Things that are shot on a handy cam, and those are released in theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nigerian cinema is a sight to behold. It's very entertaining. It has an official name, too, another wood, Hollywood, Bollywood, but I forgot what they call it.
Nigeria wood.
Lagos wood. I don't know. Either way.
So anyway, going along with our Frozen bit, Jeff.
There's also...
Did you know...
Many of you saw this on our Facebook page. This is from the blog. A well-behaved Mormon woman, Catherine Skaggs. Folks, if they still did witch hunts, like in those good old days of old... I said old twice there. Catherine Skaggs would potentially be done away with. I'm not quite sure.
You think Catherine Skaggs is a witch?
I think there are problems here. The point is, so, she spends a huge chunk of her article explaining that Frozen advocates a gay agenda. But before she even gets to explaining the gay agenda, she actually spends probably 70% of the article just justifying why she is writing this article and like why she can, which is a huge waste of space, but whatever. I mean, no one's questioning her freedom of speech here. But then she goes on to explain all of these things. There might be some spoilers here, but you've had 3 months to see Frozen, so if anything gets spoiled, tough caboodle for you. Go see it. Warned.
Yeah, tell me why. Why
you've been
Frozen
warned.
Is anti-gay.
Well, it was not that it's no, it's not anti-gay. It's pro-gay.
That's right.
It has subtle pro-gay imagery and messages. Like the fact that, let's see, Elsa has great power. That she has been taught by her parents from when she was a child. She's not publicly accepted.
Obviously, that power is same-sex
attraction. She must
attraction.
Fear its expression at all costs. She must hide from people. Anyone could be hurt. Shame is at the core of how she feels. What this means? Same-sex attraction. That's the analog there, people.
Great power.
Elsa's power increases, her parents urge her to learn how to control it. It could be perceived as evil. Her parents make the decision to close the castle to the public. And lock her in her room so she can't be discovered.
Also known as closing the door on heterosexual
opportunities. Or as she says it in the article, the, quote, demonetization of homosexuals by society.
Wait, society is saying they can no longer buy things using homosexuals as currency?
There's no more money in gays. It's over.
Jeff, that is an outrage.
It's like Queer Eye was never on.
Demonization.
I think she means demonization as well. But if this gets Tim Gunn off the air, I will be very upset.
Elsa, what else did she say?
There are a lot of points.
They're all just stupid. It's just dumb.
She goes through almost the entire movie and talks about how, you know, of course, when Elsa is free and runs off, let it go. You know, it's like she's coming
after
out.
Only a brief interaction. Anna and Hans decide to marry. Elsa is freaked out that her sister wants to marry someone she only just met. Or what the agenda is saying: heterosexuals diminish marriage freely given to them without judgment of any kind.
Yeah.
Lady, you're crazy.
Also, if you've seen the movie, you know that the quick marriage is actually a key plot point that comes out later on that is sort of done away with. You know, it's not even demonizing heterosexual marriages, but it makes the point that, hey, they rushed into it. There's just so much stuff here. It talks about where is it?
As the movie comes to a close, love becomes the healing factor, and without false judgment, ignorance, and fear by society, having been made to see themselves as Elsa's problem and not Elsa, she's now able to suddenly control the negative use of her power. In fact, she's actually able to now use it to benefit society, the power of unconditional love. Her analysis, for me, this is probably the most disturbing message of the movie. Frozen, and of course the bottom line in the twisted marketing to normalize homosexual behavior and legitimize same-sex marriage in society, the opposition to the problem is you. That's what you get out of unconditional love. Lady, I would hate to be the man that has to love you unconditionally. If you're if you have kids, how do you expect them to ever, ever try and make you feel good about who you are? With this kind of an attitude.
Yeah, and the worst thing is then, and she goes after, of course, liberal messaging. Whenever you politicize your argument, it makes me take it less seriously. Because then I say, well, great, you're taking...
Surprisingly, she disabled comments. She just didn't want to...
Well, yeah, because she started getting so much... I even left something on there, said, seriously, you're doing more harm than good here, lady. You're not helping.
Nut job.
This reminds me of that awesome article we had a while ago, you know, two Mormon liberals... Remember that one?
Oh, I remember.
That
one that
Frozen,
I loved.
By the way, just for the record, I think Frozen's a good film, and it teaches us that we can look past our own inadequacies and shortcomings and master ourselves.
I was thoroughly entertained.
And offer unconditional love to people and help them understand.
The only thing that it was missing was an African man along with the songs. I didn't see any African chance.
Where was Alex Boyer when we needed him, that monster?
So there was another article or another experience this week from kind of a crazy, nutty mom. And I'm saying this because, well, I mean...
No, this one's awesome.
We can talk about it.
So, we need to.
A mom was walking through the mall, the university mall, and she found an inappropriate shirt for sale at a... where was she? Where did she go?
Pacific, she was at Pacific Sun Wear.
Oh, yeah. She was at PacSun. Sun. Saw an inappropriate
shirt. Has no business being in Utah in the first place because there is neither the Pacific
nor
the
sun. It was a shirt with... It was like the nudie girls on the flaps of truckers.
Yeah,
things.
I saw
it was sort of that.
Obviously, Deseret News.
It was like
didn't
the
carry
silhouette
the
of a naked woman.
There was
something.
There was something like a woman sort of in lingerie. I saw. I think Huffington Post actually had images of the ones in question.
So she was very upset. She was there with her son. So she went in and bought $600 worth of them.
She bought all the ones that were in
protest.
Stock.
As a protest, she did not want them there anymore. She went in and asked them to take it down. They said, no, the display's staying there. So she bought all the shirts. Now, here's my problem with this. Well, first, so a lot of people are like, yay, she's got courage, and she's giving us the courage to go and do this. Yes, Jeff?
The one other thing, though, to bear in mind is she plans to return them later toward the end of the 60-day return period. So she bought them to make a point, and then she's just going to take them back, if they even let her.
Atta girl.
You were saying.
So she's bought all these. My problem with it is that PacSun, all they saw was a blip in their t-shirt sales for this particular design and said, well, we better order heavy on
and
that.
So they're, exactly.
So this attempt to like make a point by going and funding this stuff, I mean, it's like trying to get alcohol off the street, so you go and buy all the beer. I mean, it sends a bad message, and all the free market response to it is they say, yes, this is clearly working. Maybe we can get everybody to come in and buy $600 worth of t-shirts to make a protest. Let's keep doing this. It's really dumb execution of the idea, but I mean, you got to appreciate a mom that's trying to protect her kids.
Well, and here's the other thing. She felt like she wasn't just doing it personally. She felt that the shirts violated city ordinances because Orem, you know, it's Orem. I mean, it's conservative Utah County. Orem's city code says it prohibits, quote, explicit sexual material on public display. And they define that as any material that appeals to a prurient interest in sex and depicts nudity.
That's what she should have done is she should have taken a picture and then, like,
yeah, and then let the authorities come in.
To go and fix it.
Yeah, then let the authorities come in and take care of it because... yeah, this is like the reverse of voting with your wallet, because just like you summed it up perfectly, Al. I mean,
she did vote with her wallet.
Just the other way. Like, I love these. Give me more. I need them.
It's a classic hanging Chad is what's happened.
So we'll be very curious to see what happens with this one in the long term. But I can't wait to find out what will happen.
No, we're not curious at all. We know exactly
what's going to happen when she returns them, though. You know, what's going to happen?
Chapter 2. Oh, could go anywhere.
So, there's an article, excuse me, coming out in this month's Ensign. Some of you might have maybe received it already, but most of you probably haven't. It's not even up on it. It's not featured on LDS.org yet, but you can find it. So, Tad R. Callister of the 70 gave a talk at BYU Idaho, which is being published in this month's Ensign. And the article is called, where can I find it? It's, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, it's called The Lord's Standard of Morality. But this has incited controversy surrounding it because of concerns.
Oh, go on.
Concerns over, as we say, rape culture. This is nothing totally new. We've talked about stuff like this before on the show. But basically, Elder Callister makes many of the same arguments that we've heard before. You know, maybe briefly glossing over the notion that, you know, women dress modestly because your body is sacred. Also, you can't control the thoughts of others and yada, yada, yada. And so that it's, you know, incumbent upon women
he's
to
promoting
protect
the
us,
idea
to protect men.
He says a quote that you know, women will probably get the kind of guy that they dress for.
Yeah.
You know, trying intent obviously to say dress modestly, dress good, be nice, be pretty. The way that people are receiving it is saying, you know, it's not a woman's job to help a man think a certain way or like a woman's not responsible for a man's job. I go clear back to the Fonz, though, when the Fonz said on Happy Days,
hey,
If you dress yourself up like an advertisement, chances are somebody's going to answer it.
Yeah, and I feel terrible for a woman because it's the
there's no excuse. Like the, I don't feel like even saying that though is promoting. Well, maybe I'm being naive here, but I don't feel like it's promoting rape culture, so to speak. I don't agree with the that whole argument of she was asking for it or things like that. I mean, that's nothing in the conversation, and there's nothing like that in the article. All the article is saying is dress nicely to attract good guys.
Well, it's true, but he does say, you know, the dress of women has a powerful impact on the minds and passions of men. If it's too low, too high, too tight.
Well, on that side of it, that whole like
it might prompt like, improper.
You're becoming pornography to men if you dress a certain way.
Exactly, and I
think that's dangerous.
Well, and that's what we're saying here. But I mean, I agree. It's hard. I think it's such a rough go for women because there's all this pressure from society, especially within Mormondom, to be somehow simultaneously appealing, but also not becoming pornography, for want of a better term. And that's a delicate balance. Men don't have to deal with that. Not really, anyway. They say it's the idea of rape culture, not that men are going to violate you because you dress that way. At least he's not saying that. But that's the problem, that all too often there's this concept, this thought, that because women looked too appealing, that's what attracted the eye of a man, and that's why he took advantage of her. Which is not really actually... That's not even science. There's nothing to really even justify that. And yet we keep pushing that forward. I agree that as a man, sure, if I see something that is lewder, well, not lewder, but, you know, more provocative, whatever. It can catch the eye. That's for certain. And as a man, I understand the concepts of temptations and what have you. But I also think that it's my job as a man to just be a man, regardless of my surroundings.
Yeah, that's right. Your job is to control your own dang thoughts.
Yeah, and I want a woman to be and I want a woman to be modest for the right reasons. And sure, respect me, that's fine. But more so because she respects herself. And I believe one of the biggest problems with this, and therapists have even commented on this article, is that so too often the comments are always from men about this, and then they focus on your men can't control themselves, help them, rather than just saying like, hey, your body's a temple, for goodness sake. God didn't
give your body is a wonderland.
Yeah, John Mayer too. But God didn't give you this vessel so that you could desecrate it. You know, respect it. Take care of it. Be good to it. And respect that it's something special and sacred. Do that because you have a testimony. Do that because you believe in these standards of modesty.
I feel like this is a talk that Harry Potter received from Dumbledore.
Oh, Harry. My wand's right here, Al. I keep it on the desk.
I went to the symphony and heard the sounds of Harry Potter.
That's terrific. I'm glad to hear that.
It was great. It was great. That was last night. It was tremendous. They only had like four Harry Potter songs. I'm guessing because licensing was pretty pricey. But
so it's the sounds of Harry Potter, and they played what?
Yeah, they played like here's Fantasia, another sorcerer thing.
And then they said, here's the random music that played during Harry, during the sixth movie. You know, when Harry was walking down the hallway. And you're like, say what?
Yeah.
Oh, one thing.
So going along with the modesty thing, there's an article going around Facebook called Modest is Not Hottest. Jeff, you got to read this, right? Anything that says modest is not hottest. That headline grabs you.
Well, I mean, the legs alone I get to see from the photo right here as it starts. I mean, obviously that means something. But
it's actually a pretty
clever
picture
is very, very interesting because it speaks so much to the double standards.
Oh, Jeff, you're describing a picture of legs.
Yes.
Right.
But
now.
Look at have you magnified it though? Have you enhanced?
Oh, I've magnified it. Absolutely.
The lookout starts off if it's showing the length of a girl's skirt. If it's down by her ankles, matronly, then it goes up to prudish, old fashioned, proper at the knees, flirty, cheeky if it gets too high, then provocative, asking for it, slut, and whore, if you'll forgive the language. But
you didn't know what you were getting into when you got that high, did you?
The point... So many things I could say to that statement. But she makes a good argument here that the notion that, you dress this way, so that's why bad things have happened to you, right?
Well, she's suggesting that the sort of the modest is hottest mentality... She's promoting modest dress. She thinks that it's a good thing. But she's saying that sort of the mentality that we have in the church, focusing so much on... on modesty and how that, like, sort of where that mainstay is, that people that don't meet that standard are given an unfair shake.
Well, here, I'm going to read one paragraph here as well. And I think you'll get a kick. Well, maybe the lot. She says, like, for example, at FHE, brothers admit to me, her, that they assumed I was not a very good Mormon because of the way I'm built. As Sweatshirt Man pointed out, there is really only so much I can do short of wearing a giant bag to hide the fact that I look like a woman. And she mentions before how, of course, from men in the church, she's received comments such as, quote, "Wow, you can tell you have a huge rack even in that sweatshirt. And you're a solid 8 except for your boobs. They're a 10. That's great. I'm sure women love that, guys. That's what makes them feel special and beloved.
That's awful.
Keep going along.
I only laugh because I know that there's some just ignorant dude that's making these comments thinking that he's like being suave and working his like that's the FHE at in a singles ward. You got the one guy. It's like, hey,
yeah, like she's gonna say, "Oh, you like?
Nice
oh, you like
boobies.
That?
Yeah, bubble."
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible the way we treat women. We're men for good. If you're a man listening to this podcast, I know most of.
Be ashamed of yourself.
I know that.
Why
we're
are you
good
listening
guys
to this podcast?
And we try. We're trying to
wait,
appeal to women. We
going?
Don't want you here. We love the ladies.
You were going a different direction.
But anyway, it's a good point. Another interesting part of it is showing global data on the prevalence of sexual violence and how in some countries where women actually dress the most modest actually have the highest incidences of rape. Which is
now it's just saying that dress is no like that's not a factor.
That's not a
factor. Like it has no business being even involved. Yeah.
And
right?
All too often
what were you wearing when that guy did that terrible thing to you? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like why is that the question? Who cares? That has nothing to do with anything.
Let's see, real quick. We'll move along here in Philly, next to the temple. The church is building a 32-story residential building.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I think they've got some land and they're looking to develop. Man, they're going to make some money here.
I don't fully get this.
Why not? What's wrong with it? It's good. I like it.
It's fine. I guess it's. I mean, it's the church. I think just PR wise, it seems screwy to a lot of people. Like, oh, we can just build a new meeting house in a giant condo tower right here.
And I do like that it's about twice the height of the temple.
I know it's going to look over. It's just, I really see it as, let's face it. I mean, Philadelphia, parts of downtown are fine, but it's Philadelphia. It's not the greatest, you know.
Clean, yeah, there's nothing.
It's not
there.
The cleanest city in America. The western end there off Logan Circle is a little bit better of downtown. This is also, I think, the church trying to just do what they did around Temple Square in Salt Lake. Build a protect the area around the temple. Try to gentrify it a bit and keep it nicer than risk other developers building garbage around our wonderful temple. But a lot of people are not.
Yeah.
There are many who are not thrilled with this proposal.
Like who? What are they saying, Jeff?
I think it's a lot of people, the same people who had problems with like City Creek. Just the notion like, well, what are we? Are we the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or are we the Corporation of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
There's an investment arm to the church, man. The Vatican has a bank. We get an investment.
Well, it's fine.
Arm
and I know we have a for-profit real estate company. Its only relation to the rest of the church in many instances is just that it's under the same umbrella of the corporation of the president of the church. But it pays taxes. It does its own thing. And we try to do these things so that we can have money to further the work and build the kingdom and hopefully improve the areas around us, you know, which are good opportunities. But some people are uncomfortable with it. I understand those arguments. I think I'm just neutral on it.
I don't. I say get comfortable with it, people, because we're here.
Well, and the thing to point out, actually, I'm going to shout out to Kent Larson over at Times and Seasons. Kent, this way we'll know if you actually listen to our show or don't just follow us on Facebook. So now you have to respond. He made the point. He cited that the church has bought many different residential properties around its own properties in the past and constructed things. And it's never been that big of a deal. I guess
we call it avoiding the Mesa effect. You don't want what happened in Mesa to happen ever again. They've learned their lesson.
Dude, everyone there's got to be so happy for the Gilbert Temple. They're like, "Ugh, guys, it's just sitting here in a field with tract housing around it. This is beautiful. This will never go south.
We don't have to go down with the peasants."
But next thing you know, it's going to become like the alternate 1985 where Biff runs the show. That's what's going to happen eventually.
Oh, gosh.
That's a Back to the Future reference.
That's awful.
For everybody.
Oh, I know.
Last story here, everybody. I saw this in the Wall Street Journal today while I was actually at work at my office, and it's interesting. I didn't realize that Utah has some of the strictest adoption laws in the country, and especially ones that do very little to protect the biological father, in that mothers have every right to put a kid up for adoption with zero consultation from a father. And it's very difficult for these men, even if these men say, no, even if you don't want the kid, like, I want custody. I want to raise the child. It's a massive uphill battle for men.
I want.
So, no.
Me.
Now. Before your parents met you, they were happy. They were free. They'd stay up all night just to watch the sunrise together. Should I keep going with this wonderful monologue by Captain Hook?
Hook? You are, Peter.
It's really Dustin Hoffman's best role. Sure, you can talk about The Graduate or Kramer versus Kramer, but let's be honest, everybody. Hook. The man deserved an Oscar. Bangarang. Anyway, I just didn't know this. And of course, the church and Utah culture and how much we value families that have a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, that very much affects the laws for these things in Utah. And so in many cases, a single dad who would want to raise a child, his own biological child, actually gets less preferential treatment than an adoptive couple, for example. It's something I never thought much about, and I don't have much experience in it, but I'm definitely curious if any of our social worker friends out there who are familiar with this. I love some feedback. I don't have an opinion on it. But I think it's very interesting to see how much church culture can even shape something like one's perceived right to keep one's child.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll change? I mean, will this attention bring...
The point is, a bunch of these fathers are now suing the state so that they can get custody of their kids. Some of these kids are 2 and 3 years old at this point, and they've been with adoptive parents, and they're like, I've been fighting for years. Like, I want my kid. I didn't say, sure, take the kid. Just because the mom wanted to put it up for adoption, it wasn't what I wanted. I can understand women. They're the ones who carry the child. I understand them getting a bit more say.
I understand that
in the matter. But last time I checked, there were 23 chromosomes from each party. So there's also an argument to be made for equity.
Sure, the one has to nurture and feed the child for years.
But I had to enjoy myself for an evening. To make it.
It wasn't easy for any of us, Jeff.
Just some food for thought. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah.
So everyone, in summary, Frozen's... Oh, yeah. Frozen has a gay agenda. Olympians are doing well. What do you feel about rape culture? Also...
I'm against rape culture. Modest is not the hottest anymore.
I encourage everyone in Utah to go to a Victoria's Secret and buy the entire stock to teach them a lesson.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking every pair of panties off that shelf. They're gone.
So, folks, you know where you can find us? Find us at thisweekinmormons.com and send us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We also encourage you...
Also...
Oh, go ahead.
Jeff, if I may...
You may.
I'd like to see some more tweetage. Twitter, we're at TheRealTwim. Send us a little thought, a little 140-character blurb. Jeff and I try and write funny things, witticisms, if you will. And also, we're available on Facebook at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
Also...
All day, every day.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Twee Mormons. Find us on Pinterest. Find us on our Instagram account.
Stitcher Radio, we're there.
Listen to us on Stitcher. If you're listening on Stitcher, please subscribe on iTunes. Just use whatever format you want to use, folks. And we also...
There are 9 ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, and also, we'll as always, very much encourage you to listen in for our other podcasts, Sunday School Bonanza, which goes over gospel doctrine lessons, and Third Hour of Power, which goes over the manuals of teachings of the presidents of the church. All these are great things, and we love doing them for you, so we hope it's good. Oh, lastly...
Boom. All right, man.
If you're in Orange County on March 1st, everybody, Al and I will be pretending we know things let's face it, not wonderfully promoted OC social media conference for the church.
Jeff and I have brought all of the bump that the TWIM argument you can give. We hope you'll come out and at least introduce yourself, say, hey, you're a listener. Would love to chat.
We'll link up to it with the show notes. They encourage registration just so they can get an idea on numbers and classes and stuff. But we would love for you to come and love to meet you there if we've never met you. That'd be great to see you too.
All right. Have a good week, man. Good talking to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Al. Hey, you too, man. Hope you have a good one. Folks, we appreciate you listening to This Week in Mormons. We love doing this show. Love hearing from you. Hope you have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a good one.
Brother for sale. Only 50 cents.
Hey, that is my chili. Hey, what are you all wearing here?